Anger is a valid and vital part of our emotional range. It's natural and serves an important evolutionary purpose. At its core, anger is about protection and respect. The purpose of anger is to tell us when our boundaries have been crossed or disrespected, and this includes physical, emotional, environmental, verbal, and sexual. It also helps us communicate and enforce these boundaries. This can include protecting loved ones and yourself from harm or danger. The physiology of anger helps to give us physical strength, confidence, and courage, even volume, to make sure that we're heard. Without anger, people can walk all over us and take advantage. Anger gives us our voice, ensures we are heard, which is so important in building self-esteem and feeling respected and understood by others. Anger can also help us get through hard feelings and situations and motivate us to change things we don't like about our life. Anger can be our way of expressing or responding to a range of other feelings like frustration, embarrassment or humiliation, guilt or shame, jealousy, hurt or sadness, feeling unable to control a situation, feeling threatened or frightened, feeling unfairly treated, feeling misunderstood or not listened to, feeling the pressure of living in two worlds, or feeling a loss of connection to a family, community, or country. Anger can be expressed across a wide spectrum. There's a lot more between just mildly peeved to violent rage. It's important for us to understand the different ways we experience and express anger so that it doesn't end up controlling us, and instead we can learn to harness it and empower ourselves. There are many benefits of being able to express anger in a healthy way, such as maintaining strong, healthy boundaries, being able to meet our own needs, fostering self-respect and self-belief because we can uphold our own values and standards and communicate those with others. Also, getting and feeling respect from others, having confidence, finding courage so that we can overcome our fear to fight and stand up for ourselves and our loved ones. It also allows us to have and express a voice and opinion, and it allows us to be clear on what we care about. Passion can be a form of anger. Just think about people who fight for causes and advocate for social change. Anger versus aggression. We can disconnect from and suppress our anger if we have negative beliefs around it. Angry people are mean. Angry people lash out. Being angry hurts other people. I can't be angry because I'll upset someone. While anger can feel intense and overwhelming and sometimes lead to people being aggressive or violent, anger and aggression are not the same. Anger is a feeling, but aggression and violence are actions, and it's these actions that can lead to problems. It's very important for your mental and emotional well-being to understand that anger is not a bad or negative emotion. There are no bad emotions. Anger has gotten a bad rap because of the way people sometimes express it and act upon it. It's what we do with the anger that can be negative and harmful. The emotion itself is not negative or harmful, and in fact, it's absolutely essential to your self-esteem and self-confidence to reclaim it as part of your emotional range. There are other things that anger can become when it's not being expressed in a healthy way, so look out for the following as signposts that you need to work on healing and repairing your relationship with anger. Passive aggressiveness, which could take the form of snarky or underhand comments. Resentment, holding a grudge, frustration, feelings of being misunderstood, disrespected, unappreciated because we're not telling people what is enough, we're not saying no, and we're not standing up for ourselves or making sure we meet our own needs. and also violence. Let's take stock of where you are now in your relationship with anger. How can you tell if your relationship with anger is not healthy, or if you're not fully accessing it, or maybe accessing it too much? Here are some of the signs. You get triggered or feel uncomfortable, maybe even scared, when someone else is expressing anger. You avoid confrontation. You make statements like, "I'm not an angry person," or "I don't get angry." You hold grudges. You feel resentful towards another person for particular things. And this is something that will come up time and time again. For example, feeling resentful towards a partner for not doing their fair share of housework. You can be passive-aggressive. You might bicker and pick petty arguments over small things that can blow out of proportion. You cry or get overly emotional when someone is raising their voice or expressing their anger towards you. This is a subconscious tactic to stop the other person's anger and put yourself in a needy victim state in order to pacify them. You may not like to admit that you were in the wrong or that you upset the other person or disrespected their boundaries, and this is very common behavior with people pleasers and roles like the hero, the caretaker, and the good girl. Maybe you shut down, hide, or retreat whenever there's anger around. Maybe you can't stand to be around it. Maybe you're fine 1 minute and then explode the next. If you're blocking yourself from feeling anger, or you feel scared to do so, this is not in reaction to the emotion itself, but what you make anger mean and the story you give it, which comes from your childhood experience, and how anger was expressed or not expressed and treated within your family. Without access to the full spectrum of healthy anger, we can't take full responsibility for ourselves. We let ourselves down by breaking our own rules, our promises, and commitments. We will allow others to sabotage and jeopardize our efforts and our growth. We turn our suppressed anger to inwards and become frustrated with ourselves, which can turn into punishing behaviors such as starving ourselves, restricting or denying ourselves food, binging and purging, over-exercising, self-harm, etc. Reclaiming your anger is the gateway to self-respect and valuing yourself as being worthy and good enough, just as you are. So let's start getting you back in touch with your anger. Firstly, you need to separate the emotion from the story. And here is the first of two exercises to try to do this. Exercise 1. Recall the last time you felt angry. Close your eyes and bring up as much detail about that experience as you can. Where were you? Who was with you? What can you remember in terms of sounds, images, touch, smell? Visualize that moment as if you're there now. And now, feel, connect with, and describe the physical sensations of the anger and how it feels in your body. Where are these sensations? What's the size, the color, the texture, the weight? Write these physical sensations down. This is the emotion of your anger. Now go back to that moment. What was going on inside your head? What were you thinking? What were some of your thoughts? Are these thoughts you have often? Is this a conversation or an argument that happens frequently? Write down all the thoughts and stories that play out in your head at times you feel angry. The next part of this exercise requires you to think a little bit deeper and may take more than a few minutes. And it's okay if you have to come back to this part later. How do you describe or label an angry person? Are they scary, unlovable, mean, hateful? Write it down. Who was like that in your family? This is what you're afraid of becoming, who you're afraid of becoming. And it's part of why you do not yet have a healthy relationship with anger and why you may suppress it and deny it within yourself. In your environment growing up, you would not have received love, affection, or praise if you did this. So you learn to suppress it according to the reactions of your caregivers and family because you needed them to love you and take care of you. This is driven by a subconscious fear of abandonment and a deep need for love and approval. The truth is, you likely did not see or hear a healthy expression of anger in your family. You may have heard blame, accusations, insults, threats, shouting instead of someone respectfully, clearly communicating their boundaries. What you saw was just some of the negative actions people can take as a result of not knowing how to fully own and express their anger properly. This, coupled with the thoughts you wrote down earlier, is part of the story you currently have around anger. This is the meaning you give anger that creates negativity around it. Now you have separation between the emotion and the story. Exercise 2. Now that you know this, let's debunk and disprove the old story and write a new story of anger and what you choose to make it mean moving forward. Here are some suggestions to help get you thinking. Anger is power. Anger is me taking responsibility for my needs and boundaries. Anger is the key to mutual respect. Anger is strength. Anger allows me to find my inner courage. Anger gives me certainty in understanding what feels right and what feels wrong for me. When you have something written down, keep it somewhere visible where you can see it and read it regularly as an important reminder. Connecting to your new story regularly and repeatedly is a key and important part of the process of overwriting the old pattern of anger. So enjoy your newfound power and respect and a much healthier and empowering relationship with your anger.